Hello and welcome back to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime using the free episode rule. I'm your host Nikki, and joining me are Ace.
Hello.
And Ace alone. That's right, it is our first episode where there's only two of the pals, because Rhodes, the third pal, is unfortunately not available due to a scheduling clash. But the show goes on. We are just going to headcanon that he has been isekai'd, because he doesn't like isekai. But that would also imply that something horrible happened to him.
No, he was just dancing around in his underpants, bragging about himself, and then the portal appeared.
Yeah, that works. I don't know, he's now, he likes wrestling, so he's gone to a wrestling fantasy world and trying to make it as a wrestler to defeat the demon lord. We'll check back on this story. Anyway, today we are continuing. We're not talking about an isekai, thankfully. We are talking about D-Side, the animation. It's D_SIDE. It's a bit of a weird spelling, but D-Side. This is a mixed media project. It's an anime based on a mobile game, but it seems like both have basically been kind of conceived at the same time.
And the mobile game isn't even out.
Yeah, there's that too. So we're going to class it as an anime based on a mobile game. That feels like the right way to kind of categorize it. It's been produced by Sanji. They've worked on quite a few different shows, mostly as sort of like a co-production role. They were co-production on the Black Rock Shooter series. They've done a lot of work on the Banji Dreams series and films, as well as the Sakura Wars, the animation. This is solely their production this time around. And it is an action drama fantasy series that's 13 episodes long and rated PG-13. On the mention of the age rating, just something to note, whilst this show deals with kind of like fantasy violence, there's not necessarily any blood. The second episode does contain themes of domestic violence, although it happens off screen. So just a kind of a heads up, obviously if that's something you're uncomfortable with, episode 2 might not be to your liking. But with that said, what is the show actually about? It starts with essentially the main character kind of witnessing the death of someone, and it's all very sad, and there's a weird mark, and then we cut forward, get some introduction to the characters, and then creatures attack, and it kind of goes a bit Persona-y, kind of a bit Black Rock Shooter, but essentially, you know, there are these creatures called, I think they're called the Weird, that essentially they attack, and it's up to a group of young, you know, snappily dressed kids to save the day by using their powers and transforming into, I'm not kidding when I say this, a knocker-up, which is infinitely amusing to all of us. But yeah, they essentially, it's a typical, you know, typical premise. They transform, they go into the sort of parallel dimension / dreamscape, and they beat the creatures to try and save the day. And there's all that mystery around it. What does the mark mean? What's causing the people to kind of turn into these creatures? What's giving them their power, etc., etc.? But they all seem to feed on this, like, sort of real world emotion. The second episode's a really good example, actually, in that, you know, the aforementioned domestic abuse, the situation that one of the characters finds themselves in, that's kind of the catalyst to her essentially giving in to these creatures and their power, so that she can kind of like change the situation and take revenge on her abusive father. But it seems to be different, you know, for every person. The first episode featured someone who was just really angry he got knocked off the top spot of a leaderboard in a game.
I mean, that's entirely believable.
Quite the contrast, though, between those two episodes. Like, those two examples, way different ends of the scale.
Okay, that's very true.
That's pretty much the premise. I also forgot to mention right at the start, it is a 3D anime. I believe the second one of the season, the first one being The Duke of Death and His Maid, which we've already spoken about. But this is, yeah, I don't really know how else to describe this show, because it's kind of weird, but in an interesting way.
If you've ever seen the Dragon Short Z from Team 4 Star, they stopped doing Dragon Ball Z Abridged and put out a few shorts with CG animation. It's exactly like that, but with a worse frame rate. That's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, because one of my points about it is that, like, the actual art direction and like the character designs, at least for the main characters, are actually quite interesting. I quite like them. Admittedly, one of the girls is literally just make her in a school uniform, but give her stockings, and show a bit of cleavage. That's basically her entire design. But then you've got like two other characters who are like kind of wearing a bit of streetwear. You know, the main guy in like his bright jacket, he's kind of got his little, you know, his kickboxing wear. It's nice. It's an interesting mix, but like it looks good. But yeah, in motion, there are times you're just like, oh, okay, that's a bit weird. But then in action scenes, it seems to hold up quite well. The design of the creatures is quite nice. The first one we see is literally a hand with a mouth, which was bonkers.
Yeah, we do see them in the third episode. They seem to be the mob monsters. But sorry, can we go back to this knocker up thing? I for an instant I thought, oh, maybe it's just in England we think it's funny. But no, there was that that Katherine Heigl Seth Rogen movie Knocked Up. So it's an English language thing rather than an English country thing.
Yeah, it's a really weird choice of words, and it doesn't. I don't really get it because, like, in the first episode, he meets two people who are already using this power, and then he uses it, and he literally yells, "Knock her up." And like then it's the transformation sequence. And then the other two characters are like, did he really just yell that? Is this meant to be an in-joke? Like, what's going on here? But, you know, also, his design when he transformed made no sense. Like, he gets giant sort of metal boxing gloves, because again, he's a kickboxer. And then it seems like the rest of the design was just wrap chains around him.
Well, the fists I can understand, because he wears a ring that is a lion's head.
That's true. That's very true.
But yeah, the rest is... I mean, at least he's not covered in bandages like Sonic redesigns.
I like that one of the girls, her sort of knocker-up design is literally the exact same outfit she wears, just in black, and they've given her a minigun. And I'm okay with this.
She doesn't really do much in the three episodes. Like, she talks a bit in the first episode, but for the other two episodes, she's basically silent and uses the minigun. Her character traits are she uses a minigun,
shoots things. That's a good enough character trait.
I do like the transformation sequences. I'm a fan of transformation sequences. I grew up when Power Rangers had just started, so I like power ups.
No, that's valid. Something I do want to point out as well is that for the most part, the show does a reasonably good job of blending the 2D and the 3D. Like, that's something we've seen in the past of other shows where, like, it doesn't work well at all. But there are times where they don't do it very well. But if you're not looking for those moments, I don't think you'd see them in D-Side.
I did not know that there were 2D 2D animations in this show.
Ah, see, there you go. There's I only saw a few. But there's a couple of very brief moments where it's like, that's clearly a 2D. Like in the second episode, when one of the characters is going around and asking, I guess, people for quite, we don't know if there's no actual dialogue, you get quick clips of like groups of people shaking their head. That, if that isn't 2D, I'm really impressed, because it looked very much 2D. But like when it's large crowds, it seems to be, you know, just a sort of generic 3D character just walking.
I honestly did not notice.
Speaking of the animation as well, the intro. Now, this is a bit of a weird thing for me to say, but I like the intro. I think it's a good little tune. It's good animation. I think it sets the tone for the show. It also makes me feel like that's kind of what the intro to the Scarlet Nexus anime should have been.
I don't know how I feel about the opening, because I know I've said that I wanted more piano themes, but the song doesn't suit what's going on the screen. The energy is all wrong.
That's true. I can see that. I don't know. It's a bit of a strange one. I quite like it. I don't like the outro. Just didn't resonate with me. I like the little piano sting in the middle of each episode to signify the break. Audio generally is quite good in the show. The voice acting is quite nice. The sound effects are really they're there. Like, nothing stood out as jarring. Everything seemed quite within the world, except for when they're doing the kickboxing and, you know, all you've got is like complete silence except for them breathing. That was a bit strange.
Oh, the kickboxing. Well, not the kickboxing itself, but outside where the friend is watching, she basically says to Ibusaki, "When I watch my friend get beaten up, it makes me feel better."
Oh, yeah, she does. I think the point she was trying to make is that, like, oh, look, he keeps getting back up, like, you know, he keeps going, like, it's inspiring. But no, it literally just comes across as it's like, it's funny to watch him get hurt.
Yeah, exactly. I'd like to come here and watch him get knocked down, because he always gets back up, and I think it's funny.
I've also just, sorry, I've just literally remembered this bit. I know I said the character designs, I like them. I do like this design, but the tonal shift at the end of the second episode where the girl then finally confronts her father, I mean, it's just the outfit she's wearing then, it's like, hold up a second. Like, pretty sure she's not wearing a top. Like,
well, I was still distracted by the fact that her knocker-up costume, when she changes, she's looking at her hands where she's holding the blades. Oh, wow, what's going on? But, like, half your boobs are on show, under boob. Are you not concerned about that?
It's really strange when they go into this, like, dreamscape and all the different stuff. And also, that's a thing as well that I find interesting, is, like, what they explain is that, like, there are these creatures and they can kind of bleed into the world, etc. But, like, it's not really an issue unless they basically, like, consume the negative emotions of someone, in the sense, like, they lack, because it's really weird as well, because the instances we've seen, they almost have to, like, agree to it. And then when that happens, there's, like, a full-on bleed into the real world, and there's monsters everywhere, and it's glowy lights, and everyone can see it, and everyone's like, oh, what the fuck's going on? But the second it's over and the creature's destroyed, everyone just forgets about it. Anything related to it disappears, except for the people who are knocker-ups, because they... I can't say it without giggling. Knocker-up. if you do not understand why that is funny, then Google it. Anyway, yeah, so they're the only people that remember. So you end up in these situations where, like in the first episode, there's a giant crater that's just appeared in the ground, and everyone's just like, oh, where'd this come from? Oh, it doesn't matter. Despite the fact that, like, 5 minutes ago, there was a giant, like, fight going on and bullets whizzing by, and it's just kind of a bit random.
They did kind of hand-wavy them away. So they said it, when once the incident's over, it releases a wave of energy that wipes all everyone's memory and any footage that might have been captured of it. But everyone who is a knocker-up seems to take this in stride. Like, oh, I'm a knocker-up. Okay. I fight these things. Sure. no one's... In fact, in the second episode, I forget their names. The girl gets bit on a hand, the arm, and goes, "Ow, it bit me!" And then someone says, "Oh, can you help me? Can you help me choose an outfit, Ibusaki? Can you help me choose an outfit?" And like, she immediately forgets that something just bit her. It's a animal that is walking around on its hind legs and talking, and it bit you. And you just, yeah, okay, let's go shopping.
Yeah, even like the main protagonist, like in the first episode, like there's a brief moment where he's just like, oh, what's going on? But then he's like, oh, it's just guess I was just having a really good dream. And then when it finally like sinks in there, it's like reality. He's just kind of like, this is dope. And it's like, shouldn't you all be a little bit? And again, the second episode when, you know, the girl awakens and like she's just immediately in her power and they explain it. And she's just kind of like, okay. I have no reason to question anything that just happened. This seems perfectly safe and a rational decision. But I guess that's like anything that's like this, like it's, you know, it's kind of one of those tropes, isn't it? Just like blindly accepting like, well, guess the responsibility is on us now. Bunch of teenagers gonna save the world. I'm looking at you, Persona. But I mean, for the most part, I think it's interesting. I think it's quite good. It's a little bit cheesy. I think that's probably the first time I've actually referred to a show this season as cheesy. I don't know, for me, it feels like it's trying to be a lot of other things. Like I mentioned earlier, Black Rock Shooter, there's a little bit of Persona in there as well. It's not necessarily bad, it's just doesn't really feel outside of the characters. Like, there's nothing in the plot that's made me go, ooh, this is a really interesting hook. Like, so far it's been very sort of a generic plot. There's just this cast of characters that you're either going to like them or you don't. I quite like them.
It's very Monster of the Week. I mean, it's literally Monster of the Week, because each episode deals with a monster, and there's no, as of the third episode, there's no overarching plot. It's just, hey, you're a knocker-up. Hey, you're a knocker-up. Hey, you're also a knocker-up.
I guess the overarching plot so far is just that, like, yeah, there's that mysterious mark that appears on people's bodies, and, like, the main protagonist, you know, saw that mark near their dead older brother, and like that sort of flashback series, that's kind of the only thing we've got going, is like, obviously something happened that led to the death of his brother. That will probably come into play in later episodes. Worth noting, though, at the time of recording, we call this out sometimes, although it's obviously not reflective of our final opinion, because we do this, our final scores in the end of season episode. But my anime list at the time of recording, it has a 5.59, making one of the lower scores of any of the shows we've talked about. But part of me feels that could be because it's 3D. There's usually a lot of negativity towards 3D anime.
That's interesting.
But I think that's, I don't think there's as much else for us to say at this time. So as we always do, we'd like to give a show a thumbs up, thumbs down, or a meh. Ace, what are your thoughts?
It's a meh from me. I'm more interested in what the video, the smartphone game is going to be like, if it gets released in English, I suppose. But other than that, it's pretty generic, and there's not been anything to hook me in. Just this guy who may have stabbed his brother and wore a mask while he did it. Whether that fits in with the knocker-up stuff, we don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm inclined to agree. It's a myth from me. I like it, but it is very cliche. Maybe beyond the first three episodes, there'll be more development of that plot, and it'll get super interesting. But based on the first three episodes, it is just a myth. It's interesting. Again, as mentioned at the start, second episode, a little bit of a content warning there. But other than that, it's fairly tame. And although Rhodes isn't here, we did ask for his opinion, and he also came back with a meh. So that's three mehs for this show. But yeah, I think that'll do it for this episode. So thank you for joining me, Ace. And of course, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Pals Anime Lounge. If you like the show, then why not subscribe on Stitcher or Spotify? You can also enjoy video versions of each episode on YouTube. Just search for the Pals Anime Lounge to find them. As always, we release new episodes every Thursday and Saturday at 8 p.m. UK time, so check back to where you're listening to this episode to catch the next one.